exciting day. I just woke up today. I was just happy not to be freezing when I walked out the door. And then Jeff has to poo-poo every time I talk about the weather. So, all right, Jeff, let's talk about the
Could have done that correspondence course at Mississippi State and become a meteorologist through the mail.
Why? So I could make up what I think the forecast is going to be and never be held responsible for it? Best gig ever. Seriously. Best gig ever. Just saying. All right, so Senior Bowl, they've gathered. They're in Mobile.
Yeah.
We're sitting around. We're waiting, right? We're kind of waiting to hear reports that are coming out. We're waiting to hear, you know, ooh, maybe the Browns will do this. Maybe the Browns will do that. Maybe the Browns will do this. One of the headlines, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about it, was just the whole thought of, you know, Myles Garrett and, you know, his future with the Browns. I know a lot of fans were trying to figure that out. Andrew Berry, as we talked about in the Jumpstart, kind of said, hey, we want him here for a long time. And we all do, right?
Sure.
And you're not going to trade him for two number ones if somebody walks up to you at dinner. So.
No.
All of those things. And then, you know, you're looking at the quarterbacks. And, Jeff, is that something you're keeping your eye out for when we talk to, especially Andrew Siciliano, who's at the Senior Bowl? Is it all about the quarterbacks for the Browns? Is that where we're at that point?
I'm sorry, do they have one?
No, they don't.
Well, then, by God, yes, I am.
This is all we're waiting for. All we're waiting for.
Yeah, we've been waiting since, you know, since Bernie got let go.
It's a good point.
Although Vinny had a few moments. Wonder what he's doing.
So.
I went to Vinny's house one time. Nice guy.
Did he offer you any snacks or did he offer you a drink? Or?
Yes.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
What did he offer you?
Snacks and drinks.
Come on, he did not. What was the deal? How did you end up at his house in the first place?
Move along.
No, okay. You can't leave us hanging on a story
like that.
Oh, no, you
opened the door on this one. You got to pay it off.
I was at, and how is that not a ding? You know, I was at Vinny's house the other day.
You're not listening. He got the ding.
I didn't hear it. It wasn't a good ding.
You're not hearing things today.
I must not be. I don't know. I'm telling you.
The heck?
I'm sweating out of the top of my head.
You have some brisket last night? Is that the problem?
No, barbecue gives me heartburn now. I can't.
And affects your hearing.
I am deteriorating right before your eyes.
What happened at Vinny Testaverde's house?
Yeah, how did you end up at Vinny's house?
After the Browns cut Bernie and Vinny became the starter, we went down and did an off-season story with Vinny.
And did you call over there or just show up at his house?
We set it up. Vinny couldn't have been more cordial. He's a really nice guy.
So you called his agent and his agent said, yeah, just go to his house. How does this work? Oh, the Browns let you go to his house.
Browns set it up for us.
Wow, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I respect that.
Flew to Florida and spent time hanging out with Vinny and his family. Very, very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Did you play catch in the front yard with him or something?
Yeah, we went out and threw a football around.
Did you? Sure. What do you have to say about your technique?
He loved my catching. That part's not true, but truly is a very nice guy.
Did he offer, how much time did you spend with him at his house?
5 hours, 4 hours.
And did you bring waters? Did they offer anything?
Move on.
I'm just curious. What was the meal like?
Move on.
Was there a meal? Did anyone cater in anything?
Meal. Isn't meal an interesting word? Move on.
You're telling me to move on. Now you want to dissect the word. All right. So.
Elaine.
Jalen.
Seinfeld. Meal.
Yes.
I didn't get my meal.
Jalen Milroe yesterday was talking to the media. And he hit the podium. And like so Browns fans are trying to figure out, okay, well, Tommy Rees is now the offensive coordinator.
Oh.
And he was once Jalen's coach, right?
There's one dot. Here's another.
Yes. Yeah, so
did you just draw a line?
Let's connect. Here's what he said about him.
First year starter last season of 2023, and he was the first OC of that season that I had as being a first year starter. And for me, the amount of knowledge that I learned from him, number one, with him playing the position, number two, with him coaching, I've gained so much knowledge, respect. And the best thing about it is that we worked together through that process, and it was so fun. Just from the start of the season to the end of the season, the growth and everything that comes about it, that was all the work in the dark that we were able to achieve, able to see as a group, you know, when we were working together. I have so much respect for Coach Rees, so much respect to him as a person as well, just to be able to build a relationship with my time in college. Although it was a short period of time, you know, I learned so much. And so I appreciate him because, you know, as a first-year starter, being able to learn each and every game week under him, it was amazing. So I definitely appreciated the grind and all that was put in that season.
Wow. Okay, so he did have some things to say about his future offensive coordinator if he ends up here, right?
All right, so you're drafting him at 2. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Does that give you any ink? Is that is
at 2?
Is that Jalen Milroe politicking to be picked number 2 overall, or is that just a guy just spilling his heart out about a guy that really helped him when he first, you know, was trying to get to the next level of college football?
If I had to guess one or the other, that sounded nothing but completely sincere on the part of Jalen Milroe talking about a guy who really, who he really appreciates.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think he was
that
just
sounded completely sincere.
I like it when college guys speak at this point in their career because there's actually some truth to some of these things when they're coming out of college and they're in that.
You mean the sports information director is not standing over his shoulder saying no?
Right. The only person he really has to worry about answering to at that point is his agent, whose agent's saying, "Well, let's not close any doors." Really, right. That's all an agent needs to do at that point is let's not say anything bad about any team in the NFL who could be your future employer. All of them. I don't care if you don't want to play somewhere. When you have the opportunity to be a number 2 pick or a top 5 pick or a first round pick. You better leave all your options open. I'm not buying that, though. I think he went up there and somebody said to him, "Hey, what do you think about Tommy Rees?" And he's like, "This is exactly how I feel about him." So I'm down with the answer that he gave yesterday. The question is does that mean anything if you're Andrew Berry? Does that mean anything if you're the Browns that he has this great relationship with him?
It means something if the Titans take the quarterback you really want at 1, the Giants make you an offer for the 2nd pick, and you accumulate draft choices, and you drop down, and you have the 20th pick in the draft, and you end up taking them late.
Where is Milroe going to fall? That's my question.
I don't know. Andy, I think it's too early to decide that, to even speculate on that stuff to a great extent. You know, it only takes 1 of 32 teams to think that this is the guy. So he could end up the 3rd pick in the draft. He could end up in Pittsburgh. He could end up just about anywhere if somebody likes him. I mean, it's truly that simple. You know, and I don't mean to oversimplify it. It only takes 1 team to think that this guy can really play. You know, we talked about him in Let's Find Us a Quarterback already.
Right.
His throwing was erratic, and his running was spectacular. Well, what's one of the big things quarterbacks are doing in the NFL right now? Running. He was spectacular running the football.
Was he Forrest Gump? Was he running? That's exactly what you just sounded like.
Good. The way I wanted to.
I was running. What kind of quarterback do you got? One that is running. It is interesting.
He's not going to shave.
I'm looking at, you know, just a couple of the mock drafts out there, right? And so, you like, I'll just give you the CBS take on this. Jalen Milroe, number 3 to the Giants.
Yeah.
All right? Now, you look at
Ryan. And see, there's no way that he's the 3rd best player in the draft.
And that's quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. They're saying that the Raiders are going to trade up to get Chris Trapasso thinks the Raiders trade up for number 1. From Tennessee, they take Sanders at 1.
Shadour.
Yeah, and then Cam Ward goes to the Browns. Yep. Yeah, but I don't understand how this quarterback run's going to go in the draft because
it's going to end right there.
After 2 or after 3?
I think after 2. And if the Browns don't like, if the Browns truly don't like one of those quarterbacks, Andy, somebody's going to trade up for 2 and take 1.
So here's where I find it. So again, you got 2 guys from CBS that have mock drafts right next to each other. Trapasso says Jalen Milroe at 3. Ryan Wilson, whose column's right next to him, doesn't even have him going in the 1st round.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking.
Mel Kiper didn't have Milroe going in the 1st round.
He's not the only one in CBS. As I, you know, kind of go through some. Mike Renner at CBS doesn't have him going in the 1st round.
It only takes 1. And guess what? If you think you're getting your franchise quarterback, doesn't matter where you're taking him, you end up with a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting that how there's 4 guys here for CBS, and I think CBS does a really nice job of just kind of giving you some kind of a, like, you would think that they'd be on the same page for some things, like Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter. Like, those are the top five names in pretty much everybody's, right? Milroe's right there, too, on one of them. But, like, one guy, Trapasso, thinks Milroe's going, out of their four, thinks he's going in the top five. I don't know what, and I think to me, not that there's, like, this great validity to someone, you know, coming up with what they believe is going to be the draft moving forward, but it's just like, it just kind of shows that there's just complete indecision on what people believe these players are going to be. My fear, again, is that there's this giant run on quarterbacks, not because they're
the
third.
It can't be a giant run.
Well, four. You maybe could go three, four.
Two or three.
Three yeah. or four.
Jackson Dart, baby.
Well, he'd be the fourth is what it seems like now. But all of that is coming from hype.
Focus has him ranked 13th in this draft.
13th best player or 13th
quarterback.
Quarterback.
I mean, come on, man. This is all over the place. And guess what? Some people are going to be absolutely right and ahead of the curve, and others are going to look like morons. It's going to be great.
I don't know.
As long as our team's not one of the morons.
So I use these mock drafts as a guide, right? And I kind of come up with a consensus when I look at some of them. And I look at Mel Kiper, and I'm like, okay, well, we kind of trust him because we've watched him for years. But I don't know.
How many guys has he drafted, by the way?
Let me check. I don't have any.
Okay.
Do you?
I think Mel Kiper's made a ton of money. He does a great job. He's really smart. He knows his stuff.
He knows his business, yeah.
I always thought if a guy was that good, somebody would have hired him and paid him way too much money.
What's he making at ESPN?
I don't know. He's got to be making a boatload. He does a great job. But I always wondered, surprised somebody hasn't hired him.
So we look at it, and I'm still trying to figure out, I need someone to convince me that one of these quarterbacks is a game changer, can be here for 5 years, 5 to 7 years as a quarterback of the Browns and lead them to the playoffs and let us kind of breathe that air that we could say maybe they have a chance. I'm not even asking for a full-fledged gimme. I'm just saying maybe you have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl with this guy. Maybe this guy is the franchise changer. He's the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land. He's the guy that's going to knock on the door to get you the Super Bowl. He may not kick it in, but at least he'll get you farther down the road that you've ever been before. And I the reason I think I'm so adamant about it is because I wanted to walk into this thing going, that guy is a quarterback who's going to succeed in the NFL. I don't have that feeling on anybody. And it's not succeed in the NFL as far as maybe being a backup or someone who could be a strong player. It's someone who is going to be a standout in the NFL and is going to be able to you know, lead a team to the playoffs.
You're being closed-minded, Andy Baskin.
I'm absolutely being closed-minded on this because I think it's easier to predict an edge rusher or a linebacker or even a running. I think it's just you can visually see it much clearer with some of this class than with a quarterback.
You're just being closed-minded. Jamarcus Russell was a no-brainer.
There you go. Thank you. If you had no brain, right?
Come on, man. Zach Wilson couldn't miss. Oh, wait a minute.
Although he's available, you could bring him in. Coach him up.
It's on the coach. Your thoughts? We'll talk about him here over the next couple hours.
216-474-0092.
When we come back.
Throw something at me, Dan.
Bucky Brooks. New mock draft.
Oh.
NFL.com.
Has?
Abdul Carter.
Ah.
Such a Bucky fan. Such a fan of that.
That's what
man.
You want, Andy.
That is what we want. And watch a year from now, they'll be like, you're an idiot, Baskin. Why did you want him? Because I didn't feel good about the quarterbacks. Andrew Siciliano next right here, Baskin and Phelps. You know and love him from the Browns Radio Network. And today he is in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, where he's been for years after year after year. And now he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mr. Andrew Siciliano.
Hello, gentlemen. Good morning. I'm coming to you live from the field at Hancock Whitney and the campus of South Alabama. And the day two of practice is underway with the Bismarck Key blasting behind me. So I apologize for the music.
Hmm.
Oh, baby, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Guys on the practice field right there?
I do. Yeah, I'm sitting in the corner of the end zone. I have Arthur Smith standing in front of me, partially blocking my view. And
tell him to get out of the way.
This is day two of practice, the national team. So the team coached by Mike Kafka and D.C. Browns D-line coach Jacques Césaire. They're out of the field right now. So it's just a little early day two install. Dylan Gabriel, a quarterback, checked in at 5'10.5", stunning people that he was as small. You can never honestly trust school SID heights and weights. But 5'10.5", but honestly, he was the best quarterback here yesterday, hands down. I mean, he was spinning it. He was impressive.
Can you go give Jackson Dart a hug for us?
He's later. He's on the American team, which is on the field second, coached by Bubba Ventrone. Jalen Milroe is also on that team. So conveniently, or maybe intentionally, Bubba gets the two highest-rated quarterbacks here, and he gets to coach them all week. And, you know, you get to see what these guys really can do. I know I've said this for years coming on from the Senior Bowl. It really is an invaluable tool for the teams that are coaching here because it's not just on the field. It's how does a player learn? How does the player take an install on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and then actually put it into action on Wednesday and Thursday and then develop that into the game on Saturday? How do you lead in the room? Are you polite to the support staff? Are you nice to the barista in the coffee shop down the street when every single person in that... No, I'm being dead serious.
I know you are. That's why I laugh.
It's a week-long interview.
That's why
and
I laugh.
Every single person in this town right now is somehow affiliated with A, an NFL team, B, a college team, C, a scouting service. They're a former GM down here consulting. Everyone's got eyes on you. And, you know, this is great. This is a really good week.
So with that thought in mind, and you just laid it out, the teams get to learn so much, and that's the way that goes. Is that dangerous, Andrew? Because it's very easy to decide, oh my gosh, we just love this guy, when maybe his talent isn't worthy of where you're picking for what you need to pick. You know what I mean?
You jump the gun
because you're so pumped up about a guy. When he perhaps might not be the right guy to take.
Nah, I would look at it the other way. And
okay.
That is, never a bad thing to have too much information, right? And again, we've said this 100 times before, the draft is not just about football talent. These are HR decisions, personnel decisions. Like, who do I want to hire to work with the people in my building? Do I think they get along with my coaches? Not just get along, like, you know, do I like them personally? But, like, do we think they're a fit for us? It's better to have more information than it is to have less information. I don't think, guys, I'll plant the flag right now. The number two pick in the draft isn't here in Mobile. It's just, you know, whether it's, you know, one of the top two quarterbacks or whether it's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or an offensive lineman, whomever you want, that pick probably isn't here. But there were 10 first-round picks here last year. 43% of the draft. 43%. 110 players were at the Senior Bowl last year. So it's not just about two, it's about 33. It's about all the other picks as well. You know, Ronnie Hickman and Jerome Ford and DeJuan Jones and, you know, go back to Wyatt Teller when he was a Bills pick, Joel Petonio, the Browns over the years, last year, Mike Hall, Jamari Thrash. They've gotten tons of talent at the Senior Bowl. Heck, the Rams one year, I think Leslie took 7 guys from the Senior Bowl. So this is where the talent is. This is only a good thing.
Do you think for most people that when I'm trying to put this right, if you're a scout, okay, and you've been scouting these guys all season, does the Senior Bowl just solidify what you believed, or does it discredit when you put guys in a different kind of situation? Like, that's what I'm trying to if I'm a scout and I see a guy, I'm just wondering what it does.
Oh, it depends on the player. It's just more data points. Like, I was talking to a head coach yesterday. I was sitting here watching practice, and, you know, it's one thing to see a quarterback on tape, but, you know, you want to stand here on the field and actually see the way the ball comes out of his hand. Like, I know, you know, a buddy of mine is a scout and done it for years at the highest level. When he goes to a game, he doesn't wear team gear. He wants to go down to the field and just his basic Nike dry fit before the game, and especially watching a quarterback, just watch how he interacts with his teammates. Is he truly a leader? Is he engaged? Like, what is his pregame demeanor? Is he nice to the water boy? Things like that, right? You just you want to watch from afar, and you want to see people up close. You want to get to know people. I mean, that is only a good thing. The quarterbacks here are always the stories. The story, guys, like Jalen Milroe, amazing human being, amazing athlete. I don't know that the passing game is refined. He had a couple of balls yesterday where he just goes, yikes. But, you know, I got a chance to talk to him, shake his hand, which didn't measure as much as some people thought it would. He's a great kid. Like, he's a great kid. He's
did
a model
you have
citizen.
A, did you have a he ruler won the in your night. Hand?
No. No, he had a firm grip, and I joked. I'm like, it's a firm grip, buddy. We talked about the Ravens. You know, he admitted Monday for the very first time publicly, admitted that he actually hadn't. He intentionally kept it from people that he was a Ravens fan because his dad's from Maryland and they lived there like 1 year when he was a kid, but he grew up in Texas and his youth football team was the Ravens. So he became a Ravens fan, but he stressed to me, he does not hate the Browns. I said, okay, that's good. But do you hate the Steelers? And he laughed. He's like, no, I mean, I could, you know, but, yeah, Jalen Milroe, I'd be stunned. He's not gonna be the number two pick.
What'd you think of the Dylan Gabriel story from yesterday, throwing the ball almost 75 miles an hour? What'd you think of that?
Okay, so a lot of that by that Dove Kleinman, whoever the hell runs that account, garbage. That was just, they put the numbers up on the screen. The way it's tracked here is different than at the combine. He's, I don't know, like 78. All you have to take, just take the context. He had the most zip on a pass yesterday more than, say, others. Okay, that's it. That's all I got to take from it. It's not that big of a deal. He throws a really nice ball, like a really, really, really nice ball. I got to see him in person this year. I did one of their games. He throws a pretty pass. He's not a big human being. Like when he walked into our meeting room for NBC before that game in September, we all went, oh, wow, okay, guy's not big. But hold on. He sat down, and you're like, okay, wow, I get it. Like blown away by the dude. Blown away, and like he walked out, and my partner there, my color analyst Michael Robinson, looked at me like, "Well, that's an adult right there." So you're getting that, and he much like Bo Nix, you know, he broke Bo Nix's record. He has 60 some career starts. Experience does matter. 5'10" and a half also matters as well. So someone's going to take him. You know, they're not going to take him high because the size just does work against him.
So. If a guy like that's out there and you're the team sitting there with the second pick in the draft and you're not going to use that on him and you got a guy like Travis Hunter out there or you got Abdul Carter, you got all these guys at other spots and you have to win next year, it screams to me, go get a veteran and draft one of these kids and see if you can develop them while you're playing your veteran. And if your veteran happens to do well, he's your starter for the next 3 years.
No? It depends on who the veteran is. It depends on how much you're paying the veteran. Guys, there's no one right way.
No, there's not.
To do this.
No.
There really isn't. And just having a conversation coming over to the car. Kelsey Russo and I were having a conversation coming over to the car here to practice today. Do you feel that organizationally you need to take a swing? Okay? Because you're not going to be picking two every year, God willing. So you have to take a swing at one of the guys who has a lot of talent, who you hope you can turn that talent into not only good play, but great play and a franchise savior. Like, are you willing to go? They're going to re-sign Myles Garrett, and I was sitting there when AB made his comments yesterday. Very much that looks to be the case, right? He's not going anywhere. Like, are you willing to, I don't want to say waste. Waste is far too strong. Spend another year of Miles prime, of Joel near the end, of Denzel in his prime, hoping that the guy you take at two is the right guy, okay? Or do you have to say, damn it, excuse my language, I'm sorry, we're here, we have to take a quarterback, period, and just hope. Like, what do you do? There's no right answer. There really isn't, because there just isn't a guy at the top of the draft like, okay, that's Andrew Luck. That's Trevor Lawrence. Those guys don't come along very often.
You take the guy you think might be long-term while you cover your you-know-what next year and bring in a guy you think can win 12 games for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The answer is you draft someone and you sign someone. I don't think there's any doubt. That has got to be the plan. That's what you do. You draft someone and you sign someone. The question is, do you draft that person at two?
100%. Okay, I'm glad you said that because I was waiting for you. Yeah. Okay.
No. You absolutely have to do that. But you also have to look at the history, and we've talked about this before, Go get a quarterback in the third round. Show me the third round, the last third round quarterback that did anything. Because the third round quarterback becomes a second round quarterback. The second round quarterback becomes a first round quarterback, like Jackson Dart, for example. Is he a third round quarterback? Is he a second round quarterback? No, you know what? He's probably going to the 20s. If he has a good week this week, he might go in the 20s. It's just, that's just the way it goes. So tell me who that third round, because that third round quarterback is probably really 5 years ago a fifth round quarterback or a sixth round quarterback. Dak Prescott, 5. Kirk Cousins, 4. Russell, for various reasons.
Russell Wilson, 3.
Russell, sure.
You got to get really lucky.
You could find that guy.
Yep.
Desmond Ridder, 3. Right?
But,
I mean,
but
show
you
me the
can't
last.
Bank on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we watched those two guys play in the national championship. Like the guy, two guys you're describing, right?
Yeah. And look, I'm going to bang the table for Kyle McCord, too. Sorry, Buckeye fans. I'm a Syracuse guy. He could spin it. Go watch the game tomorrow night on NFL Network, the East-West Shrine Bowl, because I guarantee you he's going to spin it. You know, I'm not saying the Browns won Kyle McCord. I'm just saying, do you go sign your veteran or trade for your veteran and then bring in that guy and then say he's probably not the guy, but maybe we see something and we roll with the veteran and then draft again next year? Everyone's like, oh, well, just not tank. But go get Arch. Okay, you know how hard it is to guarantee yourself the number one pick. Nobody wants to sit through. No one. Like everyone's gone. If this team is picking Arch Manning or in a position to pick Arch Manning in 2026, or I've had so many people say to me that like no one's here anymore.
No, nope.
You don't live through that anymore.
It'll be a new front office. So, or it'll be a new coaching staff.
Yeah, and no one wants that. The ownership doesn't want that. The fans don't want that. I'm speaking for myself here. It's just you can't do that. And like I will never forget sitting at dinner here in Mobile 10 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it was, and I had a GM say to me at dinner, that guy at Clemson is worth tanking for next year. You watch what happens next year. Teams are going to tank for that guy at Clemson. Okay, well, he ended up going what, 13,
12,
right? 12, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and had a really nice start to his career. Obviously, we know where we sit now, but that was a year out. A year from now, Arch might be the 12th pick. I doubt it, right? He may stay in school. There's no guarantee he's going to even come out with the money that colleges pay now with all that extra cash. There's no guarantee he's going to come out. Like a year ago, are we all sitting here going, Quinn Ewers, top of the draft? Maybe some people were. I know I wasn't, but I know some people were. Well, now, like, Quinn Ewers is your day three guy now, right? A lot can change in a year. If you think one of these guys is the guy, then go get him.
Andrew, as always, we appreciate the conversation. Enjoy the trip, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say about the rest of the Senior Bowl as it progresses. Thank you.
I'm trying to – is this Moni Love? No, who's this? No, this is Salt and Pepper. Remember Salt and Pepper?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Assault with a Deadly Pepper, underrated album.
All right, we're spinning the hits with Andrew Siciliano. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Okay.
Peace. Yep. He loves his music. Andrew Siciliano giving us a little bit of breakdown. How about a little bit more? I need more.